It is my pleasure and my privilege to welcome you to worship today. My name is Amanda Atkin. I'm the Minister of Spiritual Formation here at Greystone, and so I am delighted to welcome you to worship. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for being here. Inside the little blue notebooks called our friendship pads, those should start making their ways up and down the aisles, there's a connection card. It's a way for you to ask for some information about Greystone. It's a way for you to submit prayer requests. It's a way for us to put a name with a face, and I hope that you will do that. Take one of those cards, fill them out, put them in the offering plate a little bit later in the service, but above all else, know that you are welcome here. We're delighted that you're here. Our interim minister, Dr. Barry Howard, is, I think, in Scotland right now. I keep checking his Facebook post, and he was following around Bubba Watson, his neighbor, in the rain, and so today he was tweeting out some Celtic spirituality, I think, so that he could feel okay about going back to the golf game, but on a Sunday. But we'll see. We are so delighted today that Dr. Wayne Hager is here. He will be bringing us a sermon. Dr. Hager has been in Raleigh for years. About half the congregation already knows him, but he is now the Minister of Administration at First Baptist Raleigh. Before that, he served at Tabernacle, and then has had a long and illustrious career throughout the Southeast. We welcome you, Dr. Hager, and are grateful for your words today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is good to be together as Greystone, as a church called together by the Spirit of God to do the work of God in this place. And at this moment and at this time, our work is that of worship. So let us begin.
May we rest this morning in the reminder of God's faithfulness. These words from Psalm 89. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness and the assembly of the holy ones. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. This morning we gather in that light. May we stand as we sing together, Lord Most High. That's printed there in your worship guide. I'll lead out if you'll respond with the echo, and then we'll all sing the refrain together. Let's sing. Sing after me.
From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens, your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak, from the shouts of the strong, from the lips of all people, this song we raise, Lord. Throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord. Most High, exalted in every nation, sovereign of from the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens, your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak, from the shouts of the strong, from the lips of all people, this song we raise, Lord. Throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord. Most High, exalted in every nation, sovereign of all creation, Lord, most high and be magnified throughout the endless ages and throughout the endless ages.
God's people said, amen. May we find our seat.
Come on down. Glad to see you all here today. Got a few more coming. I wonder if kids still collect bubblegum cards. You got a surprised look on your face. You know what a bubblegum card is? You don't know? Anybody know? When I was growing up, you could get all kinds of cards. Most of them were like sports cards, particularly baseball cards, and have a little pack of cards that would have the baseball players in them and a little stick of gum. The gum really wasn't worth a whole lot. But you went for the cards. Well, from like elementary school up into even middle school, I collected Ripley's Believe It or Not cards. And you've probably never heard of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Maybe you have. Who used to collect baseball cards or any kind of cards growing up? Any hand? Got a few hands going up. But I love Ripley's Believe It or Not. And Robert Ripley was a man that he used to illustrate, and he would do drawings like this. This is a real recent drawing. But he would, whoever does these now, they just talk about all kinds of different little things. Like this one has a drawing of a lady right here, and it says, "Tough gal, while visiting a Virginia botanical garden, a rabbit raccoon attacked Cass Overton. The 75-year-old was able to strangle it with her bare hands." little facts like this, some strange things. And what I used to see was more like this, because these were actually drawn by Robert Ripley here. And you see this tall guy right here, and this is Robert Wardlow, and this is him when he was 11 years old. He was 6'10" when he was 11, and he wore a size 25 shoe, and Robert Ripley wanted you to know about that. But anyhow, this was a rage, and people from all over the United States would read these in newspapers, and Robert Ripley went all over the world, and he collected things, lots of unusual things. There are some Robert Ripley auditoriums, that's what he called them. And I love to go into those kind of places. And when I was at one down in St. Augustine, Florida, one of the things that he had collected was this little piece of rice, and it had a Bible scripture written on it. It was actually more than the scripture, it was a bunch of words, and I can't remember if it was the 23rd Psalm or if it was some other passage, but you could only see it through a magnifying glass, this little grain of rice. And that's kind of an art form. There's people, particularly more in the, if you look in the Asian countries, they would draw like on the, do things put on the heads of pens or rice or on seeds. And it's just fascinating to see little things like that. And I just thought back when I heard what the scripture was today. And basically the scripture is what we call the parable of the mustard seed. And what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the mustard seed is the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. And in Jesus' day, they thought the smallest seed that there was the mustard seed. And if you plant this seed and cultivate it, it creates a big bush and just grows really tall. And even it's big enough that birds can build its nest in it. So a little thing can grow to be so big. And that's why the whole thing with the Robert Ripley and the rice and putting something so small and it being magnified, that is what God does with us. The last time I did a children's sermon, it was Pocket Change Sunday, and incidentally, next week is Pocket Change Sunday too. But what we did is we collected pocket change, and all our little gifts together, we helped to fund some things at Refugee Hope Partners. And so, while it's unusual to see Scripture, I'm trying to tie all this together with Robert Rivlin, it's unusual to see Scripture on something like a grain of rice. We can magnify and see it. What's not unusual, though, is that God can take something so small, and that includes us, and create great things out of us. So just remember that when you're going out and doing anything, God can use us to do anything. Let's pray. Lord, as we place ourselves into your garden, let us grow so that we can aid others to bring in the kingdom of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
From the 17th chapter of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, in order that it might produce boughs and bear fruit, and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Holy and righteous God, we bring you praise and thanksgiving. We are grateful for your presence and your work in our world, for the rains that bring forth new life, for the colors of the flowers and the trees that dot our world and add to its beauty, for the birds of the air and the sounds of nature that remind us that you are still busy with the work of creation, for the laughter of children that bring us joy and make our days brighter. For all of these, we bring you thanks. In this season of our church, as we hear and share stories of our faith journeys, our hearts are full as we hear the many and various ways that you work in each of us. What a joy it is to celebrate together our unique stories. We are thankful for all who planted seeds of faith within us and all who have been part of this journey of faith. As we look forward, we pray for our church as we prepare for our next pastor. We pray for guidance and wisdom for the search team, and we pray that they will feel our love and support in the coming months. May we individually and as a church continue faithfully this journey and grow as you would have us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Please pray with me. Glorious God, we like to practice random acts of kindness. Your word even confirms that we further your kingdom when we show kindness and compassion to another person. We pray that Jesus' life and teaching may be our example for sharing intentionally our talents, prayers, time, and offerings. We humbly give this offering as an expression of our faith. Amen.
Hear now these words from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. Good morning. It is good to see you all this morning and to be with you. I appreciate the invitation from Dr. Howard Berry to come and share a message with you all today. I've known Berry since he was pastor in Kentucky many years ago. I've known Patty and Chris Austin for about 35 years and thought it was quite a coincidence that Chris was doing the children's message today. We were all in seminary together back in Louisville, and they have babysat all three of my kids back in the day. And probably the dearest person here this morning to my family is Carolee Brown. Carol Lee was someone who I met on my first trip to Raleigh with my wife, Joy. They planned an event to be sure that I passed Carol Lee's inspection. She wanted to see what this young man from Kentucky was all about. And then as each of our children were born, we always made our dutiful trip to see grandparents with the child, and Carol Lee was always a part of that first experience. And as the kids could hold their heads up, they always sat on Carol Lee's knee, and she bobbed them up and down and sang, "Knees Up, Mother Brown." So we have a long history, and it is good to be with you here today. A lot of other connections between this church, my own life, and First Baptist, and so it's good to be with you today. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love for us. We give you thanks that you have brought us together in this place today to hear the word that you would have us to hear. We recognize it is ink on a page, but we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will take those words and will make them the living word of God for us today. That is our heart's desire. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There comes a time in most people's lives and in the life of a church that you bump up against a brick wall, or things aren't quite going the way that you want them to go. You find yourself in a time of transition, a time of change, a time of uncertain future. I've been a pastor for 35 years, and small student pastors to larger churches to interim pastorates at the ocean to rural eastern North Carolina. And it's always seems to be the same, that churches go through cycles, and they need sometimes to be reminded of, just as we as individual Christians do, some of the basics of our faith and some of the basics of the kingdom of God, which don't equate the church with the kingdom of God, but we are a part of that. And our mission is to be a part of the expanding of that kingdom of God. That area, that place within our world in which God's rule is acknowledged and where the people of God seek to do everything that we can to bring our lives in alignment with what God's will is. That, for me, is how I define what the kingdom of God is. I think basics are pretty important. I shared at my own detriment earlier today that I'm a University of Kentucky fan. When it comes to basketball, I am also a state fan, but other shades of blue just don't thrill me too much. One of the things that I've observed after a lot of years of being an observer of basketball, not just Kentucky basketball, but just loving college basketball, is, you know, those teams that end up in the national championship and the ones that win often are the ones that they don't have just one single star. They don't have just one single set play that seems to work all the time. I mean, it's okay to have alley-oops and behind-the-back dribbling and that kind of stuff, but it's the teams that focus in on the basics in their practice times and in running the game. They usually win the game. And sometimes we as individuals and we as churches come to a place where we've been at things for so long that they've just become routine, and we begin to lose some of the basics that we had to learn at the very beginning, things that God was teaching us, and we put those behind. We also have the temptation, as I've had in my life, having been a student since 1978 when I went to Southern Seminary, studying Scripture and taking classes and going to conferences and, you know, the latest fad that comes along, you know, you head off with a group of people to see what the latest is in worship or the latest is in education or whatever. And people got a plan. You know, you take our plan, you buy our plan, is a trend today, and we can get everything just right for you in your church and in your life. But, you know, sometimes it worked and sometimes it doesn't. Because I think behind all of that, there is some foundational issues and some foundation things that we need to capture or maybe recapture in our lives as Christians and as a church. And I think these two parables, in my experience, lay out some pretty fundamental issues in terms of how the kingdom of God grows, our place in it, and what we need to affirm in order for that growth to be something that really takes hold in our church and in our own lives as well. First parable is the parable of the farmer who plants a field, goes back into the house, and basically just watch the field grow. Scripture says the farmer doesn't know how that it's happening. It's very rare in our experience today and in our society that we ever admit that we don't know what's happening or why something's happening, that we admit that kind of ignorance about what's going on. But in this parable, the kingdom of God is equated to a crop that's growing out in the field, and the farmer doesn't know how. You and I know how. We know why it is. And when we do things today, we water and we fertilize and we cultivate. We do all kinds of things, and we tend to take credit for what's growing in the field. When Joy and I moved to Raleigh 10 years ago, we finally had a piece of land down in Black Horse Run that was large enough and level enough that I could return to some of my roots, which was growing a garden. When I was 5 years old, my grandfather was killed by a drunk driver, and my mother and father and my grandmother decided that what they would do is sell the farm and sell their houses and build side by side in the suburbs, which was fine for my parents, and it was fine for my grandmother. She was then near one of her two sons, and she could feel protected. Her grandson, who was her favorite, was next door. All those kind of things, you know, that was all good. But it didn't take my grandmother but 1 year to realize she really missed the farm. And so her 6-year-old and 7-year-old grandson found himself every spring out in her backyard with a pitchfork, a hoe, and a shovel, turning over more and more sod to create a garden for my grandmother. Got bigger every year. I mean, tomatoes and potatoes and onions and green beans, you name it. She grew it on the farm. She planted it in that little plot in her backyard. And I learned how things grew then. And it had been decades since that had been my experience, living in apartments and living in houses that didn't have enough land to plant anything. So we moved to Black Horse Run and decided I was going to return to my roots. Of course, the one thing I didn't have to deal with, you know, 50 years ago was all the deer that there are in this area. So we put in raised beds, and I built an apparatus around it to keep the deer out, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And, you know, so I really, really recovered that. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, and even it happened today, when I come out of my back door and I look out at that garden, I feel pretty good about myself. You know, you did a good job. That's beautiful. If you're on my Facebook page, I've even posted pictures of it. I'm so proud of it. I did that. Well, I didn't do all of it. And sometimes in the church, we're that way about things that happen in the church and the processes that we have or the direction that we're going, that we know how it should go and we make all these great plans and we forget what lies underneath of it. And that's what the parable says. And for our setting, it means that God's power and God's strength, God working the miracle, is underneath all of it. Beyond all of our knowledge, our understanding of what we do. I think sometimes we who are experienced in the church, those of us who have had decades of living the Christian life, we need to open up our eyes and be amazed again at what God does and how God accomplishes things that are way off the mark for our plans and for our path. May 22nd, 1983. Anybody remember or know what that day is? Besides staff? Carol Lee knows. It was a day that a group of people met together out of response to Dr. John Lewis at First Baptist Church, 17 folks, and David wasn't one of them, but his family was part of it at that time. He was away at school at the time. 17 folks, 8 different families, 4 teenagers gathered together in response to Dr. John Lewis's call to put a church in Northeast Raleigh. And Greystone was born. 17 folks. And this sanctuary was built. There's 605 crosses up there. Congregation continues to grow. Beautiful facility, beautiful plant, beautiful worship space. All because 17 people gathered at a response of a call of Dr. Lewis and a response that God gave them through Dr. Lewis. They didn't know how to plant a church. Now, this is all out of your website. I'm not saying they were ignorant people. You all say this on your website. They didn't know anything about church growth, about how to plant a church, or what was going to be expected of them. They just responded. And look what happened. We need to be amazed in our lives at what God can continue to do. And when this church looks ahead to its future, I hope you'll have a sense of committing to be amazed by what God can do. It's great to have plans. It's great to draw things out. It's great to have expectations. But don't ever lose the sense of amazement about what God can do. And what God can do with what the second parable says, something very little, something small. Mustard seed was, as they knew, the smallest seed that they understood anyway. There were others that were smaller. They didn't know about them, and the scriptures not being emphatic that it was the smallest, but it was just kind of known as the smallest seed, and something great could grow out of it. Now, there were all kinds of mustard seed. There still are all kinds of mustard seed. There was mustard seed that just grew wild, and there was mustard seed that was just cultivated. And so, but all the seeds were small. And out of something small, that small, planted in the ground, even the very next day, there is growth that begins to happen. And so when we look at our lives, when we think about to the history of Greystone, when it began, you know, and most churches begin that way. Very few churches start with very many people to begin with. Now, the church I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, started with about 250 people because we got mad at the church we were one Sunday and started someplace else the next week. But thankfully, most churches don't start that way. They start out with a small, dedicated group of people. And then God's able to work and cultivate that into something wonderful, something small. You may be here this morning thinking, you know, that in the scheme of things of the ministry of this church, that you know, you don't have much to offer. Next week, you're going to be reminded that all your loose chains sitting around can do a whole lot for buying stuff, school supplies for kids that don't have anything. And it's just kind of cast off from you. Talents aren't big enough. Your resources aren't big enough. You haven't heard that lightning bolt from God about what you need to be doing. Through the history of my ministry, I've seen people who just had just a tinge of a thought that they've shared with me or with someone else in the church. And that thought has become a wonderful ministry for that church. Just be reminded that, you know, it's great to have plans. It's great to look toward some great big goals that we can have out there as individuals and as a church. But God can use the smallest thing. The smallest thing, which is just your willingness to hear what God says and being willing to respond to what God calls you to do. Without taking a check or an inventory about whether you can do it or not. There is nothing small in the kingdom of God when it comes to the growth. Now remember the first parable? That God's power and God's strength can use that for. A few years ago when I was doing a Bible study at Wake Forest Baptist Church on the parables, one of the parables at that group of people, I let them choose different parables that we wanted to discuss, and one of them was the mustard seed. And something dawned on me when I was doing that for the first time in all these years of looking at this parable and teaching this parable and thinking about its relationship to my life. I know you're in the midst of stories of faith. And I continually have had to come back in my own life as a Christian and as a pastor to these basics about not getting too excited about what I'm doing, but recognizing that God's behind all this. And this seems pretty small, but God can use small things to become something great, not get it depressed if it's not just blossoming from the very beginning and in great numbers. It's been important to my journey of faith. But I learned when I was looking at this that there were mustard seeds that were cultivated, planted, and there were mustard seeds that were wild. And in Jewish law, you can't cross crops over. And different mustard seeds were mixed different plants, so they're not supposed to be mixed together. They're supposed to be kept separate. And the ground is very arid. There's not a lot of moisture, and the seeds on the plants would fall off. And sometimes they would grow on their own, but they didn't do a great job of that. You had to take the seed. You had to wrap it, protect it, and keep it ready for the next season. And particularly if you wanted to have a crop that was done by Jewish law, you needed to be sure that the land you were putting it in only had the seeds you were planting, not wild seeds that might come. And so the ground was cultivated, and you planted in them the seeds that you wanted to come up. And so for the first time, I really realized that these mustard seeds were annuals that had to be planted every year. I love perennials. I love to plant something, and the next year it's going to come up, and I don't have to do much to get it come up. I love green plants and bushes that just stay there all during the winter and stay pretty. I like bulbed plants that the frost levels, they're going to be planted below the frost level. They're going to come up the next year. I love perennials because I spend enough time with the annuals in my garden. I don't want all the rest of my landscape to be something I have to deal with. Well, the mustard seed's an annual, and it takes constant care and planting for it to come up the next year. So remember that first parable about how God's power is behind everything and that we're not the ones doing it, but there is a place for us. There is a place. Even in that parable, the farmer had to cast the seed. And there is a place in this parable, the mustard seed, for us to realize that what we've done in the past isn't always going to bear fruit in the future. That it may need to plant something a little different in order for the growth to happen. It also means that our job never truly ends. That even though we want to depend on God's power, and even though we want to acknowledge and be amazed by what God does, I failed to tell you just a few minutes ago that one of the things that really impressed me in the last year of my wife's life was how she became a gardener. She never was a gardener. She didn't know how things grew, but somehow, in the midst of her bone marrow transplant or somebody else's genes going into her, she ended up loving the garden. And she was just simply amazed at what happened when she would take a little cup and put a seedling in. And we did that the last year of her life for our garden. And her seeing that growth or that amazement through her eyes was wonderful. We need to have that amazement. Never lose that, no matter what our plans are. So whatever it is that's going on in your life and the life of the church, just remembering the basics that we have of being amazed at God's growth that will occur because of what God does, and nothing's too small, and that we're constantly being called to be a part of that process. You've already heard it a few times in the course of our service today about planting the word, planting the seed from Ezekiel and from what the ministers have said and prayed, that we would be people willing to put the seed out there so God can do God's miraculous work, no matter how small it is. Perhaps today, in your life, or in the life of this church, you're being called to move back to some of the basics of recognizing there is nothing so small that we can offer that God cannot use in this place. and to recover the amazement and the wonder of what God does when we let God use us. A number of years ago, there was a movie called Oh God, and some of you will be like me. You may have even gone to see it at the theater. It's only available on Netflix or Amazon Prime now as it rotates through. But in it, George Burns plays God, and John Denver plays Jerry. He was a grocery store clerk. God comes down and with a sailor hat and, you know, finds Jerry and tries to convince Jerry that he needs to proclaim his message to the world. And Jerry reluctantly begins to believe that God is really God and begins to do that. And through some things that happen in the movie, Jerry and God end up in court. And God is called to defend himself before the court. And so at the very end of the movie, God and Jerry are walking along away from the camera. And John Denver, as Jerry, says, "You know, I just don't think we've been very successful. It just doesn't seem like there's been much return on all that we've been doing." And God says to Jerry, "I don't know, a little seed here, a little seed there, and you never know what's going to grow." That's what we embrace as a church. That's what we embrace as Christians. Plant the seed, and then be amazed at what God will do. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we do give you thanks for your message, for your word in our life. We ask that as we consider our own lives and consider the ministry of this church, that we will hear your voice. Whatever that voice is, we ask that you will help us to respond, whether privately or publicly. We affirm to you once again that we want you to be in charge. We want to celebrate what you do. We want to follow you. We want you to use us in the ways that you call us to be used, and help us to be willing to never, ever say, "It doesn't seem like it's enough, God." Because if you're calling us, it is enough. We offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
Higher.
And so as we prepare to leave this space, we go with the peace of Christ upon our hearts because we've blessed each other with the same. But as you go, remember, you can register for Vacation Bible School. A free t-shirt. Okay, so let's go ahead and register. Also remember our youth as they travel to Tennessee this week for UNIDiversity. Stop and ask someone in a blue t-shirt about their experience in Helena, Arkansas this week. Also, we've mentioned a few times throughout the service, next week is Pocket Change Sunday. So this is the chance for you to clear out your cup holder in your car, and you can look around in your dryer, or you can pull out the sofa cushions, but find that pocket change and bring it to church next Sunday. We'll be collecting that. It's a fifth Sunday offering that our children take up, and we will be sharing those monies for back-to-school supplies. So please remember your loose change. Sign up for VBS. Remember to pray for the youth, and as always, remember also to pray for our search team. As they move into a quiet phase on this side of it, but an active phase working with resumes and candidates seeking the next person for Greystone. As we go, we sing, and we sing of God's faithfulness and God's love for us.
Sing it out.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Of William Sloan Coffin. May the Lord bless and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God give you the grace to never sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire for love's sake. Amen.